It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Bridget Carney is best known as the bassist for the band Lake Street Dive. And if you don't know, it's a Boston-based band that's a unique blend of soul, jazz, funk, and pop. Bridget Carney's bass line drives the music, and she's also written some of the band's most popular songs. And she is an Iowa native, growing up in Iowa City. And now she's releasing her first solo album. It's called Won't Let You Down, and here's a little taste of the title track. Little bit of Won't Let You Down, the title track of Bridget Carney's new solo album. She'll be performing in Iowa City tonight at 10 o'clock at the Englert as part of the Mission Creek Festival, and she is here with me in the studio right now. Hello, Bridget.
Hello. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, thank you so much for being here. And why is this the moment to release a solo album? What made you want to do this?
Well, I fell into a position where I was on the road a lot with Lake Street Dive, and the process of making records is generally one that's kind of slow. So, like, the cycle is maybe 1 to 2 years, write the songs, get into the studio for a couple weeks, make the record, and then there's 6 months of, like, production, and then 6 months of promo, and then you do a year of touring on the record. So you don't have as much time in the studio to create as maybe one would like if you're interested in that part of the process. So in between making records with Lake Street Dive, whenever I had time off, it was just exciting to be in the studio and be, like, writing songs and working on the creative side of music. And so I had a friend in Brooklyn where I live, and he just gave me a sort of open-ended invitation. Hey, anytime you want to come in the studio when you're free, we'll just work on a song. And so that was the way that it all came together. And it was a great way to just, like, keep engaging that part of my brain and, like, stay excited about music and creation. And then after a couple of years, we were like, wow, we have 10 songs. I guess that's a whole record. Let's put it out.
So this does not mean that you're leaving Lake Street Dive.
Oh, no, no, no.
What do you think? I know you've written songs for Lake Street Dive, and, you know, so you've had that kind of creation process to be part of that band and create that sound, which is such a unique sound. What does writing songs just for you allow you to do in a different way?
I think the songs often come from a similar place. I wasn't super deliberate with, like, oh, this is a song that generally when I am writing songs, I try to kind of cast the net wide and let whatever wants to come out. And then you can sort of look through them and say, well, this one is perfect for Lake Street Dive. And this one, like, really sounds nice on my demo version. And maybe we should sort of follow that route. But then one of the more really different parts of the process was the recording process. Because, like, when we're in the studio with the band, there's kind of a foundational starting point where even if we do, like, change it up a little bit from the beginning, we're thinking of it as a song that's for a bass player, a drummer, a guitar player, and a singer. And with this solo project, that there was just no rules. It was like, well, we could start with, that song that we just listened to. It's like starts with a space sound, and then, you know, the acoustic is kind of jangling, and there's a big cowbell part, and there's, like, saxophone, and, you know, just whatever you want to put on there, you can just do it.
So since you were doing this over a period of time and when you had time, who else were you working with on the album?
Primarily, it was me and the producer in the studio together. And it's this charismatic, charming, in parentheses, you know, slightly underwhelming basement studio in Brooklyn. And so we would just go in there, you know, get a cup of coffee in the morning, head into the studio. Okay, what are we going to do today? And emerge 14 hours later and be like, wow, that was a wild ride. You know, just get super deep into each little part and spend several hours on, you know, just the organ part for one song. Say, okay, we got the first verse now, but we got to change it up for the chorus. And what are we going to do there? Go to try a different range or try a different sound. And yeah, it was really exciting to be like so hands-on with all the instruments. And then towards the end of the process, we brought in some ringers for a few key roles that were more virtuosic.
Well, and taking the album on the road then, do you have to kind of write it from scratch again to be able to perform it live?
A little bit. That was an interesting process. Yeah, trying to pick the right players that could sort of cover all the parts that we needed to make the songs come across. And where I ended up landing on that is I have a five-piece band that's playing tonight, and all four of the other people are instrumentalists and singers. A lot of them are singers and have their own bands, too, and write songs themselves. So I think that gives them, as performers, this, like, depth of understanding songs and sort of a big-picture thinkers about, like, the arc of the song and creating, you know, telling stories with the songs. And then they all sing harmony, too. So it's, I think we'll be able to create a pretty big sound. Of course, we're, you know, touring in the van. So you do have some limitations on size and scope and how many instruments you can bring.
What is your songwriting process like? How do you start something?
It varies, but generally I like to keep a notebook on hand or like a phone note of just ideas for songs, like so that I can go into the studio or go into like an instrument session with somewhere to start with. And also another thing is like musical ideas. Like oftentimes I'll be like listening to a record and be like, oh my God, I love the way that they use that chord change there. And so then I'll just sit down and start moving from that one chord to the other and say, okay, where does that make me want to go next? So it's just to have some kind of jumping off point. And then from there, you can kind of like let your years of like learning by osmosis, learning by learning songs, and understanding the building blocks of music, like those things hopefully have become a part of you and a part of like what you want to say. And so you can just sort of let them take over, let your subconscious do the work and let things come out.
Now, you, as I mentioned, I mean, you're best known as the bass player for Lake Street Dive. And for people who haven't seen the band, and we're talking about a double bass, we're not talking about an electric bass. And that's where you got your start, was really focusing on the bass. When you were in your formative years as a musician, what kind of music spoke to you as a bass player? Were you into classical music or jazz?
All kinds of stuff. And that was all, you know, the formative years were here in Iowa City. So I started playing in the school orchestra at Roosevelt Elementary School. And then I went to Northwest Junior High and played in the jazz band. It was a great jazz band instructor, Jerry Zinn, there. So he kind of got me excited about the jazz thing. And then I went to West High, also super great jazz program that Rich Med runs there. And then I had some private teachers that were involved with the university, too. So Diana Gannett was the bass instructor at the time, and she was a great classical player and also, like, really aware of the physical aspect of playing the bass, which is, of course, like a demanding instrument and one that you can really wreck your body on if you don't have like the correct form. Something that I was like not interested in at all when I was, you know, in eighth or ninth grade. But I'm so glad that I learned at that point, because now, you know, that I'm doing it many hours a day, I'm grateful to sort of like understand, have that as feel like second nature, so I don't destroy my body.
So When I listen to Lake Street Dive, I can hear a lot of the jazz influences and the soul. So, you know, connecting the dots, I can say, okay, you know, some jazz training and many years of study of jazz, I can see where you bring that to the table with Lake Street Dive. With the new album, I mean, this is a lot more rock, maybe even a little punkish.
Totally.
At times. So where does that come from?
I guess, yeah, that I've always been a fan of rock, and I guess like 60s rock is a thing that I'm into, the Beatles being sort of the primary one, but also I'm really in love with the Zombies. And then over the past like 10, 15 years, there's been a lot of stuff that's exciting for me too. Beck, I think, is really cool, and Wilco. And just as, I guess, like, through the process of working with Lake Street Dive, probably I was able to like really indulge those, that side, and like get to know how that stuff works. And it's an art that's like seeking to be accessible, but also is very complex, and has a, there are a lot of inner workings to understand about why a song like that works, and what makes it a great song. So it's something that like I'm excited about, like continuing to understand.
I want to talk about song lyrics a little bit, because just listening to your song lyrics, I get this sense of a real love of language. And you seem to really enjoy double meanings. And you also like to throw in little nuggets, like Easter eggs almost, little quotes of other songs. I mean, tell me a little bit about where these ideas come from.
I do love language, and that was another thing. When I went to college in Boston, there was a double degree program with New England Conservatory and Tufts. And so I went to New England Conservatory for bass and then went to Tufts for English. So that was kind of like another thing that I got to dig pretty deep into, was like language. And I don't know, it's just like endlessly fascinating, you know, what you can do with language. The pop song format is like very succinct. You don't have that much to work with. You only have 3.5 minutes maybe. So like the challenge is to like fit in there something that's like unique and compelling, and like really can make people feel something within that like small structure.
We were talking earlier about sort of your approach to songwriting. Do you try your lyrics out on people? Do you bat that around with other people?
Sometimes, or like, yeah, I definitely have songwriter friends that I'll kind of trade songs with and talk about what we're working on. Several that'll be playing on the show tonight. Benjamin Lazar Davis is a longtime collaborator with me, great songwriter, and Margaret Glaspy is a great songwriter also. So this is kind of actually my little songwriting club that's on the road with me right now. And yeah, we've been talking about songs a lot in the van, sharing stuff that we like. And we actually, the other day at Soundcheck, we're working on a new song that me and Margaret are writing together for our upcoming punk band.
All right.
It's called Common Law.
Nice. So wait for more information about that, huh?
Yeah, might be a while.
So we talked a little bit about musical influences, but being an English major, who are your literary influences?
I like writers that like can say a lot with very little, like songwriters. I think Hemingway is like a big influence, both in like his writing and also the way that he talks about writing. When we were talking earlier about process, I was thinking of like a quote of, or a method of his, where he talks about like when he does his writing every day, or did his writing every day, then at the end of the day, he would like finish when he got to a point where he knew what was going to happen next. Because if he followed through with that idea and finished it, then he wouldn't have anywhere to start the next day. So I don't know. There's just things like that, that writers outside of the music world have so much wisdom to share with songwriters and musicians about the creative process.
We're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. I'm talking with Bridget Carney. She is an Iowa native. She grew up in Iowa City. She's best known as the bassist for the band Lake Street Dive. We're going to listen to a little bit of Side Pony, one of the songs she wrote for that band, here as we go out. And she'll be performing tonight. Her solo album is being released. It's called Won't Let You Down. She'll be performing tonight at 10 o'clock at the Englert in Iowa City as part of the Mission Creek Festival. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.
Keeping it flirty, everybody might say that it's dirty, but don't you worry, because I've got a shop on it.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. My guest today is Bridget Carney. She is best known as the bassist for the band Lake Street Dive. She's just released her first solo album. It's called Won't Let You Down, and she'll be performing in Iowa City tonight at 10 o'clock at the Englert Theater as part of the Mission Creek Festival. She's also an Iowa City native, and she is in the studio with me right now. And Bridget, we were talking a lot about your music writing approach before the break, but I also want to talk a little bit about the videos that you've put together for your new album. And I'll just describe the one we've heard the song Won't Let You Down. And the video is of you in a tattoo parlor, and it's a pretty straightforward video. And the tattoo artist is writing lyrics from the song on various parts of your body. Tell me a little bit about the concept behind that.
So the tattoo artist is this woman, Hannah, who's in a band called And the Kids. Great band that's also on our record label, Signature Sound. So I just knew that she gave tattoos, and I thought it would be a maybe interesting way to represent the song. The song has this kind of storyline of, like, sort of, I don't know, bad kids or something. And not the tattoos are bad, but it does have this sort of, like, bad boy, bad girl, edgy image, which is, like, the concept of me having that many tattoos on my body is, like, similarly fictional to, like, me being the character in that song. Like, it's a story. I don't have any tattoos. Wouldn't really call myself a bad girl, But I just thought it would, like, well represent the song. It was fun. It was an interesting challenge to figure out how to give me that, try to make a convincing fake tattoo video. And in one instance, we took the head of the tattoo gun off and put in a pen tip. But then in one instance, she was afraid that the pen tip would look too fat. She wanted a thinner thing to work with, and so she was like, I'll just put the needle in and not actually break the skin, it'll be fine. And I was like, okay. And then, like, a couple weeks later, I'm like still looking in the mirror at that spot and like, definitely still there, hopefully this will go away.
So do you have a little scar?
Yeah, just a little oopsie tattoo behind my right ear.
That's very funny. So I was really interested in your look in both the videos that I've seen for the new album. You are just have a very stripped down look, and I'm curious about why you chose to do that.
Yeah, well, so that video, I'm just kind of like wearing normal clothes, and the other video, I'm actually running in like running exercise clothes. So that one is like on the extreme side of, like, not flattering. it was an interesting thing to approach, like, when moving into the proverbial spotlight. You know, it's like you have this decision of whether you want to sort of, like, change your image or, like, dress yourself up or, like, pick a sort of deliberate thing. And I guess, like, my idea was just to be, like, super real. You know, this is how I look in real life. This is what I look like. And so, yeah, especially with that running video, that was like, I was like, it's going to be great. It's like 96 degrees. I'm going to be all sweaty. It's going to be awesome. And then, you know, of course, I saw the footage back and I was like, wow, that's like mission accomplished. That's not flattering. But I still feel good about it. I think there's, you know, there's so much that is controlled about, like, especially women's images in the entertainment industry. It's like very fabricated. So I wanted to, like, represent this side of it that was just, like, honest and, you know, real.
So are you trying to send a message about that? Are you trying, maybe, you know, if there are girls watching these videos, are you trying to say something?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, like, I guess it's just, yeah, it's important for young women to know that they can be themselves and they don't have to, you know, go to great lengths to, like, change their bodies or like, create this fake version of themselves.
And we'll play a little bit of Wash Up here in just a moment, but that's the running video where you are through the whole video, you're running. And I mean, so not only is this a sort of a raw image, which I think you look great, by the way, but I did think, wow, I wouldn't want anybody to take a video of me while I'm running. So I was empathizing a little bit there. The video, you kind of play with speeds, and it's just, it's very tongue-in-cheek in some ways how you're running, and then it speeds up the video, so you're running very fast, but it looks like the words are the same speed. How did you do that?
It was challenging, and of course this is, you know, very DIY operation, so it was really what we had to do is create a track that was, we planned out where we were going to do those speed changes in the video, and then created a track that was a version of the song that was like correspondingly slowed down and sped up. So in the slowed down version portion of the song, then I was singing the song very fast. And then in the sped up portions of the song, I was singing, lip syncing the song very slow, just like quarter speed of the song. And that was really challenging. And then also there's a guitar solo that I take. So the guitar solo, I had to be running with the guitar and then playing the guitar solo a quarter of the speed of the song. So like very slow. It was really strange. And probably like I also had to practice that. So it was weird. I was like running around Brooklyn with a guitar on, like playing really slow guitar.
And you had to be really precise. They couldn't adjust the speed. You had to precisely be a quarter of the speed.
Yeah, I did.
Wow.
Or like maybe a more professional operation. No insults to the filmmakers. They did a great job. But we were all kind of like learning, figuring out how to do it as we went. And that was the way that we figured out how to do it.
So when you look at those videos, what is your response? I mean, I watching yourself on video is never an easy thing, or at least not for most of us.
Yeah.
How do you feel about it?
I feel good, especially about the parts that are not me, you know?
There aren't very many parts that aren't you.
Right, right. There's some backup dancers at one point in the song. That part's really exciting to me. Backup bicyclers. We hit a storm at the end of the shoot, which was, we really were hoping to avoid, of course.
But that looks so cool.
Yeah,
though.
It looks cool in the end. It was actually a really bad storm, and we were like stuck out on the beach because we had ran there. So we had no way to get back. And we were like hiding under this beach shelter. It was like crazy, like thunder and lightning, like wind. But yeah, like this was my first experience actually making music videos. We've never done it for Lake Street Dive. And so I did have some anxiety, especially about like the lip syncing thing, just like making that, getting some sincerity across with that, and like not just, hopefully viewers aren't completely distracted by that, because I wouldn't consider myself an actor. but it was, I think they turned out pretty cool in just like getting the concepts across.
So what made you, if you hadn't done that in the past, what made you want to do it? What did you feel you could do with a video that you wouldn't be able to do by just maybe recording you performing the song?
Yeah, well, I think the production on this record is a lot, I don't know, it's more made for the studio. And so like what we're able to do live is really different than what's on the record. So I wanted people to hear what we had done with the record, because it was very like deliberate. And I think Robin, the producer, did a great job of building this atmosphere that like is hard to replicate perfectly or like exactly in the same way. Like the live thing for me is just like so different than the studio thing. So I was really excited about these studio versions, wanted people to hear them. And another thing is just practically speaking, like I'm on the road with Lake Street Dive most of the year, so I'm not going to be able to tour this music that much. So I was looking for ways that I could get the music out to people without my physical body needing to be there for them to hear it. So it seemed like music videos are something that can kind of like survive and circulate, and people find them, may find them now or may find them in a couple months. And, you know, hopefully they'll have this life that's going on while I might be doing something else.
When you perform with Lake Street Dive, I mean, not only are you not the lead singer, but you're physically protected by a double bass. you are back there performing your solo stuff. You're out front. It's all you. How does that feel?
It's very different. I'm still protected by a guitar, which is good. But yeah, it really makes me appreciate the things that Rachel does in Lake Street Dive.
Rachel Price, the lead singer.
Yeah, like just in general, I think anytime that I step into another pair of shoes in like the musical world, it gives me a greater understanding of what those people are doing. So I think like the whole process of making this record and like being more hands-on with the keyboard parts and the guitar parts and the production and then the singing and then being the lead singer in these live shows, it's like it definitely given me a new appreciation and a new kind of understanding. And I'm listening for all those things when I go see shows, when I'm listening to records, I'm listening with kind of new ears because of like getting into that world a little bit. Yeah, but being a lead singer is incredibly challenging, like engaging. You're the face of the song. So you're like the person, people are looking into your eyes, you know, they're like watching your every motion, you know, to see how you're understanding the song. So you really need to keep your head in the game. Also, you really need to take care of your voice, which is something I'm not used to having to worry about.
All right. Well, Bridget Carney, thank you so much for being here. I want to have just a moment to play a little bit of Wash Up as we go out today. But thanks again for your time today.
Thanks for having me.
Bridget Carney, she's best known as the bassist for the band Lake Street Dive. She's just released her first solo album. It's called Won't Let You Down. This track is Wash Up. She'll be performing in Iowa City tonight at 10 o'clock at the Englert as part of the Mission Creek Festival.